Charles Shepherd, Jacob Stout, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Julia.
You two have had a busy 2 days installing the museum's brand new Dale Chihuly chandelier. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did it all go?
From my perspective, running the museum, it went very well because Jacob's very talented and he knew exactly what to do and how to handle the whole thing. How did you feel about it?
Well, from where I was standing, it was easy. It was a great crew there and easygoing atmosphere. Gorgeous museum, by the way.
Thank you.
I had a great time.
This is a glorious piece, the Lily Gold Chandelier. Would you describe it for us?
Jacob tells us that there's a special process of sort of infusing or attaching gold leaf onto the glass or with the glass. For Chihuly, it's a very subtle piece. It's really gold and a little white. And it's 5 by 4 feet, roughly, with many, many tendrils reaching out, which activate the space all around it.
I'd say it has a dark backdrop to it. So as we lit the piece this afternoon, it really just pops. It glows. And I'd suggest it's the first piece that you see when you walk through the front door now.
It's a real eye catcher.
That's very interesting and happy that we got it down just right.
Yeah.
So, Jacob, you are a great glass artist. What separate skill set does it take to install anything but a piece like this in particular?
Practice, a little experience there, of course, and probably some calm nerves. But really, in this particular piece, the understanding of glass as a material is really important, which is one of the reasons I think people around me describe me as calm. I'm not worried about the glass as much. When the staff at the museum was hearing it cling and clang together as I was installing it, I heard a lot of oohs and yikes. But I know how far I can push that sound and how far I can push the glass. It's actually a very strong material. Yeah, there's thick and thin spots and also sections of each piece that I know are stronger than others. And so I know where certain heavier pieces can lay without causing fractures in the ones below.
You have it in your brain then, but you really have it in your touch, it sounds
like. It's more in the touch.
Wow. Yeah. How did you get into the business of installing other artists' work?
Well, part of being an aspiring artist is learning to make a living any way you can. So to keep my hands in the business, I took a job as a gallery preparator early on in my career. So part-time hours I would spend changing shows and packing and shipping work for a local glass gallery. It gave me the experience of handling different types of glass sculpture. And then moving into making my own glass really gave me an understanding of the material.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like an unexpected look into everything that you're going to need to know for your own work.
It was unexpected. I mean, my whole career in glass was unexpected. And to work in the gallery setting exposed me to not only different artists, but I got to meet them. And so I had a moment with them if they were in town for a show to ask them as many questions as I could and really pick their brain about their process.
What is your own preferred method in the world of working with glass?
I actually use an old Italian technique to put my glass work together. It's called incalmo, and it involves joining multiple parts of glass together while they're hot. So when you look at the Chihuly chandelier at the museum, you'll see all these different sections of glass that create the piece. Each piece is blown individually and strung onto this armature. In the glasswork that I make, all of the different pieces are fused together hot, and it's completed in front of the furnace. It takes me back to what excited me about glass to begin with. You know, as a college student at Kent State, the pace of glass making and that instant response that the material allows for has always been attractive to me.
I can see why. Charles, Summer of Glass is certainly one of the museum's beloved annuals. Will this piece drive the bar and the popularity maybe even for that?
I think it will, Julia. I think that our first step into the Summer of Glass was, 4 or 5 years ago now, and the notion was that we wanted to show that international annual show because it was such a tough competition for all the artists who were trying to win those 24 prizes, and to salute them beyond that moment of getting those awards with an exhibit, that was easy. And you could see so many different kinds of work and so many different styles, and we thought it's almost like a primer for the uninitiated of what can happen in glass sculpture. Then what would be the next show? And we did Dale Chihuly, and we did Who Has He Influenced? And that made a good trio. Since then, we've graduated, I would say, from there. And And I think that's really good. This piece is going to help us graduate further, because with this iconic piece, we're freed to look at other artists, younger artists, emerging artists, and see what sculpture they produce in glass, which I think is going to excite the public even more. I think they want to know what Jacob makes. I think they want to know what Peter Bremers makes. I think they want to know what a range of people make that they've never even heard of before. How exciting is this? And we'll weave around this iconic piece by Dale and these three shows every summer, an educational, a deeper educational piece that shares with people, you know, the names of different people, newer people, emerging people. One of the things that we talked about, bringing Jacob back with a mobile glass furnace and doing his work, not somebody else's work, right here, as part of that educative and engagement piece, you think, I can get into this in a way I can't get into any other kind of art. Boy, I can get into that. You really can feel it. It's funny that you asked the question, because it really did. It enables us to take a step back from Dale, because we took such a big step for this piece.
That certainly makes sense. And of course, I wish you well, and especially on getting a demonstration from Jacob in the future. How cool would that be?
Oh, I think it'd be wonderful. And I think there's a precedent here for this kind of thing, too, that the artists of, let's go back to the abstract expressionists. What were they struggling to rid themselves of? The Dale Chihulia painting, Picasso. You know, no matter what you did, no matter how good you were, everybody would say, that's fine, but where's the big gun? Okay, and I think the glass artists of today have the same shadow. You know, I'm suffering under the shadow of Chihuly. And it needn't be at all, because the work that's being done today by all the young glass artists is the equal. It's just the name is a marketing phenomena, Chihuly. Okay, so we've got to translate that into the young up-and-coming artists.
That is a wonderful point, Charles, but I am curious, doesn't it just challenge you, isn't it, like its own throwdown to say, okay, Jacob, beat that.
Right. Well, you could certainly take it as a challenge. I've always looked at Dale Chihuly as a pioneer in the glass art movement that really started back in the 60s and 70s. And I'll say it 100 times, I don't think I'd be sitting in your studio today without Dale Chihuly. So it's less of a challenge and more of an acknowledgement of where we come from, and that I think just sort of helps us all look at each other and say, okay, we got to take it a step further.
As an artist, that's a great attitude to have, and I think go for it.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know who else would say go for it is Dale himself. Because Dale, the marketing phenomena and the industry, is really, when you poke at it, different from Dale, the person, the artist. We have to recall that he was a teacher first, and Harvey Littleton picked him as one of his students because he had charisma that Harvey didn't have. And Dale had it, and it really worked. And he wanted other people to come up with him. And I think if you sat with him one-to-one, I think he'd want to talk one-to-one and be so happy that, hey, you did a great job installing my piece, maybe better than me. And hey, your work's really good, and I'm really happy about that. Because Dale loved glass. He's here. He loves glass.
Okay, from each of your perspectives, what makes glass art so very popular and magical?
Well, off the top of my head, I would suggest it's a medium or a material like none other. Specifically, and when you go to the museum to see this Chihuly chandelier, you'll notice how glass is able to hold light and illuminates it, you know, like a moth to a flame. It's just elusive. It's need to get close to it. You want to touch it. So I think that magic in the material.
Here's another bit of magic. You can sculpt with glass in a way that you can't sculpt with much anything else. And I think other sculptors that I've talked to who've worked in other mediums have a little bit of jealousy about that. And then you go to the core thing about the light, and you've sealed the deal.
That's a good point, and I'd add to it. I think I take that for granted sometimes as a glass worker, but what we're doing basically is balancing a liquid off the end of a stick.
Wow.
Charles Shepard is Fort Wayne Museum of Art's president and CEO, and Jacob Stout is a fantastic glass artist and installation specialist. Thank you for taking time out from your Chihuly installation celebration, guys, and here's to the power of glass.
Thank you, Julia.
Thanks,
Happy
Julia.
To be here.
This was fun.